Good morning. It always amazes me how time flies on Sunday morning when it's time for me to preach. The worship service goes a little faster, it seems like. before I know it, it's lights on. I want you all to know that it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you all and to share my heart and how much I appreciate being a part of this body, this local body. As I was preparing for this message, about a month ago, Richard asked me to preach on this date. And it dawned on me, the date, September the 26th, today I'm celebrating the 28th year of my walk with Christ. And what a journey it has been. Some of you all have been around to know some of my stories. Marge, Ed, Tim Buchanan, he's not here. Ron Pissett have been a great part of my life. And Rich have been such a wonderful gift, and not just a great pastor, but a brother and a mentor and a friend in the Lord. At times I never thought this day would come that I would be able to stand up, even though I knew the desire and the calling. But along the way, some of the tests and trials that beat me up pretty bad, and I come to realize it was part of his brokenness that I needed. And what a beautiful thing to come out of brokenness. And through that, I have learned I've learned how much God loved me, and I'm learning how to love him. Michael Coy wrote, he said, "I allow myself to be loved by God in my most deepest brokenness. It's to experience the love that defies human comprehension." What a true statement, and that has been a true statement for me. And I chose the title of this message, Knowing Christ Deeply. I've come to realize this is who I am by the grace of God. And oftentimes that I would faint and fall out or even give in to desires of my flesh, to how he could continue to keep pursuing me. And I often wondered, one of the songs we sung this morning, what is it about me that you're so mindful of me, that you love me? But I serve you if you let me. Through the brokenness, I serve you. And I bring you my life. And part of scripture Ron read this morning that in him, how we're holy. And God sees us holy and our sins are forgiven. And in that, we are able to pursue him. Without that condemnation, and something I had to learn and yet learning to know him. And the wonderful thing about that is that he comes where we are, in that darkness, in that brokenness. And to the point that Paul realized himself, is that how I want to know you in the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, being conforming to your death, no matter what it costs me. And I think that's something that God is calling all of us to, no matter what it costs me, to know you in that way, that you and you alone to be glorified in our lives. This is what the world needs today. This is what we need. God is calling for us, and we need to see that in our brothers and sisters, to encourage one another to do the same. I learned the grace and the mercy of God through my weakness and failures. And I understand how much he loved me and how much he's committed to conform me to the image of his son. And I know often the time when I get up here and speak, you all probably hear me say that a lot about being conforming to the image of his son. Because I come to realize that nothing else satisfies. Nothing else satisfies me. Nothing else can complete me but the love of God and his purpose in my life. And that's all because of his love that he has for me. The day would come that I would know him in the power of his resurrection, when I would see him face to face, to be able to say to him, thank you for the love that you've given me, for your life that you gave me. But on this earth, to know that power, to walk in the fullness of his spirit, to learn that daily, to deny myself daily, it's not an easy thing. And oftentimes I try to do it in my own strength. And you all know where that gets us, trying to walk in our own strength. But his faithfulness. And oftentimes we take the grace of God for granted. I know we all come to church and we love the fellowship and we do things that God may put on our hearts to do. But to pursue him at all costs, not out of fear, but out of love. And what the world is coming to and what we're seeing today, that is what we need. That's what should be our main focus. I came across this story several months ago, and it blew my mind. Well, I guess I left that note. Here it is. It says, the enemy's perfect plan. Title of it says, let not allow the enemy to distract us. It says, Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to his evil angels, he said, we can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles or knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from conservative values. But we can do something else. We can keep them from an intimate, abiding relationship experience with Christ. If they gain this connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to church. Let them have conservative lifestyles. But steal their time so they can't gain the experience in Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do, angels. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining their value connection throughout the day. How shall we do this? Shouted the angels. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent unnumbered schemes to occupy their time. Tempt them to spend, then borrow. Convince the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 or 7 days a week and 12-hour days so they can afford their lifestyle. Keep them from spending time with their children as their family fragments. Soon their homes would often offer no escape for pressure of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear the still small voice. Entice them to play radio or cassette players. Let me tell you, this is an old story. whenever they drive, keep the TV, the VCR, the CDs, and the PC players going constantly in their homes. And see to it that every store and restaurant in the world play non-biblical music constantly. This would jam their minds and break their union with Christ. Fill their coffee table with magazines and newspapers. Find their minds with news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order, catalogs, and every kind of newsletter, promotional offer that offered. Even in their recreation, let it be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exalted, disquieting, unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go in the nature to reflect on God's wonders. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, movies instead. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so they leave with trouble, conscious, and unsettled emotion. Let them be involved in soul winning, but crawl their life with so many good causes they have no time to seek power from Christ. Soon they would be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health, their family unity for a good cause. Does this sound familiar? It is sad today when I go on Facebook or talk to some of my friends and how our whole focus on what we feel is being blessed is prosperity or being full of emotions. No one wants to go through tests or trials. No one wants to suffer. It's a hard thing. No one wants to be without. It's hard and discouraging. But that's how we know who Christ is. And I came to realize that he's not so much comfortable with our happiness as he is for us to know him. And that fulfills our joy and our peace. This is my prayer, Psalms 119, and I reflect on this days. It says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. Direct the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things." This is a true, heart, honest prayer that the psalmist wrote. And knowing Christ, I realized that I can be honest with him with my shortcomings, my weaknesses, my failure, because my sins are forgiven. And if I confess my sins, when I do sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive me of the sins that cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So my pursuit and our pursuit is to know him and to make him known. And every test and trial is for his glory, for the increase of our faith, and for others can see. I finally allow him to bring me to the place after giving in to my own earthly desires and falling out and fainting that no matter what it costs me, because your love is worth that. And come to understand, no matter what it costs me, whatever test and trial that comes my way, that he's there, that he's faithful, even when I don't understand, when I don't hear him, he's there, and there's a purpose. It's to glorify him, him alone, to develop and understand his strength, his power, his love, and to purge me from all the things I held on to in the world, even the identity of African American. One author wrote that I'm more Christian than an African American. over these several years, my heart was kind of broken that you see, even my family, my friends, Christian friends, the division from the time from Obama's administration on up to through Trump's administration. And I had to come to realizing that, and I said this to some family members and some friends, that my identity is in Christ. And either I'm going to trust him to be who all he said that he is in my life, and whatever he allows to come, whether it's a hindrance or mistreatment or a bias or whatever the case may be, that I'm going to trust him to grow me through that, draw me closer to him, that he may be glorified in my life. My identity is in him because of his love, his sacrifice, his faithfulness, his mercy. This is what we have to remember. The world is changing. The world is changing. And our pursuit of him, the movie Pursuit of Happiness, I remember watching that movie several years ago with Will Smith, and how his focus was on getting a better job, becoming a better person, and all the obstacles that he went through, a divorce, his wife leaving him, becoming homeless, sleeping in bus station and homeless shelter. Some of you are, I'm sure, familiar with the movie. But he stayed focused on the job that he was trying to get. And watching that movie, I asked myself the question, Lord, that's the focus I want on you. No matter what tests and trials come, but my pursuit is you being glorified, no matter what it costs me. And that's what he's asking for, no matter what it costs me, because oftentimes the enemy distracts us on the pain or on the test or on the trial or what we think we're losing. But we never focus on what we're gaining. And that's the power of God, the strength of God, our faith growing. We becoming fruitful in him. We becoming more like him. If I ever come across your mind, do me this one favor. Pray that I would know him beyond myself, that I would fall deeper in love with his word. That my life would glorify him and him alone. A couple of weeks ago meditation, Angie had quoted a scripture, which said, Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. The invitation. Christ telling us, take my yoke upon me. Take his yoke upon us and learn of him. See, my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. You think about that invitation from a holy God calling a sinful a person like me or you, that he wants us to learn of him. He know our weaknesses and how our shortcomings in all of those things, but he's saying, come. Let me teach you who I am. Lay aside the fears. Lay aside the doubts. Or even bring the doubts. Bring the fears. I'm greater than your doubts. I'm greater than your fears. To know him in that way and have the heart to pursue him. And oftentimes I'm so blown away that the times that I resisted, that he keeps coming. He keeps coming. He keeps pursuing us to show it how much he loves us. That our light will shine in the world, that the world can see how much he loved the world. This is what he's calling us to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. The suffering is not what we want, but to know him in that way, to allow him to comfort us, to become real and more real in our life, to understand the depth of his mercy, the depth of his grace, his faithfulness. That's worth more than gold. That's worth more than gold. This is a kind of a short message, but I'm just blown away as Paul. I'm gonna read this before I take my seat. Old Philippians, the third chapter. Paul said, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness that comes by the law, but by what comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ has made me his own. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that lie behind me. To press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us with the mature thinking think this way. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that as well. I pray that that the Holy Spirit have stirred something up in you as he continued to do in me, that for us not to forget our purpose, and the goal is to know him deeply, no matter what it costs us. Father, I just give you thanks for who you are and for your son coming to lay down his life for us and to pay our sin debt in full and to have set us free from the power of sin and death, that we can rejoice right now that we have eternal life in you. I pray that you create in us a hunger and a desire to seek after you and to love you and to delight in your word. Not out of fear, but out of love and gratitude for who you are in our lives. And continue to give us the joy and the peace that's been afforded to us, and that we may abide and be faithful to you as we learn to be faithful to you as you so faithful to us. And we just thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.